I want to talk to you today about the goodness of God. Yeah. And this is so foundational to your life. It's so critical that you understand the goodness of God. Ephesians, guys, follow me in the back. Be ready to go through all those scriptures very quickly. But Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians, the third chapter. And I want to start with the, let's start with the 14th verse. Ephesians, the third chapter, starting with the 14th verse. And Paul writes and he says this, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body of heaven on earth is named, that he might grant you." Now, the apostle is speaking over the congregation. You say, well, he's praying over the congregation. Yes, he is. This is a prayer. But he's also speaking to them, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Everybody say the inner man. Amen. It's important we understand what he's trying to say is that you would understand it inside here, that you would really understand something. Look what he says. Next verse. That Christ might dwell in your hearts. Do you see this? Inside. Everybody say inside. You ever get something and you get it and you really get it? You say, man, I get it inside. That's what he's saying. That Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being grounded and rooted in what? Okay, we'll go on in a minute, but here's the main thing he wants. He wants people to understand. He wants the saints to understand the goodness of God. He wants them to understand how crazy in love that God is to these people at Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus, to the saints. He wants them, his prayer is, because here's what he knows. When you start to question God's goodness, it's when you're going to get off. Listen to me. Whenever you question the goodness of God, it is a step off the plumb line. How does Eve get off? Here's how Eve gets off. She's, and please listen to me. Please listen to me. God is good. He 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 is good. And any time that you question his goodness, you are wrong. I love you. You're just wrong. And I'm not saying that you don't have reason to believe that. What I'm saying is that when you do that, you're walking by sight. You're walking by your emotions. You're getting tricked. It's Satan's trick to trick you, to get you off of the plumb line of the blessings of God. And Paul understands this, and he says, I want them to know inside. You have this internal compass, understanding, what do they call the things that help with the time? What? No, it's like a metrodome. What do they call? Is that what they call it? Metrodome. You have this metrodome, whatever. No, I didn't mean to be snotty. I just recognize nobody knows what this thing is anyway. You know what I mean? Who cares how we pronounce it? Anyway, it's this thing, and what it does is it goes back and forth, click, 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 click. It is for musicians, so they stay on time. Okay, now that we explained all that. And got the proper pronunciation of what it is. Important. God is saying, here's what he's saying. Paul is praying for the Ephesians that they would have this inside understanding that God is good because he knows what Satan comes to do is kill, steal, and destroy. He can't do that in any way except lie to you and get you to think wrongly. When you think wrongly about God and his character is the day you're going to get off the plumb line. And I've seen people get off and off and off and off and off and totally be pulled away from the promises and the plans that God has for them. Amen. It's a huge problem. So before we start, I want to make this point in Ephesians to say, Paul understands that problem, and he's going to speak over the Ephesians and say, listen, I proclaim that I speak this over you, that you guys would understand inside that there would be this grounding and rooting. You ever pull a little weed up? You know what? Oh, look, a weed. Eat. You ever wait 6 months? You ever wait 6 years on that weed? Amen. How many know that weed is laughing at you when you try to pull it up? Why? Because it's grounded and rooted. That's what Paul wants. There to be this grounding and rooting that you understand the goodness of God so much that nothing gets you off of understanding God's love. Okay. Next verse. May be able to comprehend with all the saints. He wants all the saints to understand this. What is the width, length, depth, and height? He's saying, I want you to understand every single aspect, height, depth, length, width, completely, fully understand. He's in words trying to describe this totality of understanding how good God is. Next verse. To know the love of Christ. That's what he wants. He wants these people, and God not only wants that for Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, but God wants this for us. God wants this for the saints in Pico Rivera. Amen? And so he has sent me to give you an emphatical message today and to show it to you from God's word and to reason out with you and talk about some arguments about what people say about the character of God and why in the world, if God is good, then why in the world are there people who are starving in all kinds of places of the world? Why are there people who are sick? Why is there wars? If God is all powerful, then why is all this happening? And what happens is, it is an argument that is, what we learned last week, it's an argument that's coming against what God says in his word. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to do what we taught last week. I'm going to put that thing under the authority of God's word, and we're going to stab it today. Because any time that you question the character of God is a day that is a bad day for you. And it's a day that it's a good day for Satan. And it's a not only a bad day for you, it's a bad day for your kids, and it's a bad day for your grandkids. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to say amen to them. Amen, Pastor. That is true. That's good preaching. Amen. And I'm saying that so forcefully because I want you to understand how critical it is that you never, ever, 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 that you be grounded and rooted and you understand God's love. But I'm not just going to tell you that. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you that through the Word of God. Let's first just talk about some scriptures. I'm just going to machine gun these scriptures. Start with the scripture in Colossians. We're just going to go through all these, okay? Guys in the back, you ready to go? Colossians. First, Colossians, Chronicles. Yeah, I'm just checking if you're awake. How many are awake? Okay. Colossians, that's even, okay. First Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, For he is what? Good. For his mercy endures forever. Next verse. Guys, I want to go through these real quick. Just boom, boom, boom. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Thank you, God. Next verse. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. How? When? All the days of my life. Oh, taste and see what? That the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is a man. This is so important. Who what? Who trusts him. You trust him because he's good. Next verse. Truly God, here's the truth. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. You understand his goodness. Next verse. For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to how many generations? All generations. All generations. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good, for his mercy endures forever. Next verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Do you get the point? How many get the point? God is good. Somebody say, God is good. God is good. Now, let me go to my notes. First thing I want you to understand in the goodness of God, our understanding of what God is, of what God is like, shapes everything in our lives. Our understanding of what God is like shapes everything in our lives. That's why Paul says that in Ephesians. He understands. This is going to change everything. This is going to taint everything in your life. And what it does is it sets your compass on what is true north. And once you understand that, if you understand the goodness of God, or watch this, or if you think that God is good most of the time, or if you think that God is good and you say, yeah, but Pastor, what about what we see? What about those things? You know what they say is one of the main things that keeps people from walking into faith or into the family of God. This is one of the main issues. And it's God's goodness. They question the goodness of God. Because they say things like this. If you know, they hear the Christians say, well, God is all powerful. How many know Christians say that all the time? How many know the Bible says, with God all things are possible? How many know God is all powerful? And so how can we, because you're saying God's all powerful, but you're saying God is good, that doesn't make sense. Because if God was really good, there would be no one starving. See, listen, do you know how to answer that? I'm just asking, have you thought that? And back in your mind, there's a real question about the goodness of God. We need to talk about that today. We need to work that out. We need to leave and have a complete understanding that God is good all the time. That there's no shadow of turning in him. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says everything good comes down from the Father of lights, where there is no shadow of turning. What is James saying? James is pointing out that if there's something good, it comes from God. You know why it comes from God? Because he says if there's anything good, any perfect or good gift comes from God. And then he gets real theologically. Sometimes we read stuff in the New Testament and we're so busy reading it or memorizing it that we say it like a poem. And the King James is written, one of the desires when they translated the King James Version was not only that they did it accurately, but I appreciate how they did it because they did it they were conscious and they wanted it to be, to have a form of poetry as they wrote it. I'm not saying it had to rhyme, I'm saying they were very, particularly on how the words went together. So the Bible says in James, that every good and perfect gift come down from the Father of lights. Wow, isn't that sound poetic? Doesn't it? But there's also theology that I want to teach you there. That James is not only he's got a truth that he's trying to get across. And here's the truth: that every say every. See, what's he saying? He's saying, guys, there's no nuance in this. How many ever, the other day we went to a place and you know what? It was a nice Mexican restaurant. You know what? How many know you can get a burrito for $6? But how many know you can get a burrito for $14 too? And how many... Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You guys spend $14 on a burrito all the time. You know what? I mean, nowadays, even, what's that, Casa, what's the one that you like, the little, not Casa Garcia. Even El Tecor, a burrito, $10 for a good burrito, carne asada burrito, $10. Okay. $10. So I got this burrito, and you know what? 4 bites were good, but then I got into some funky meat. I was so mad. Some of you looking at me freaky right now. I was freaked out. Was I not freaked out? I was mad. I was like, man, I don't want to come back. Why? Because I want, you know what? I want every bite to be good. Okay, that's how God is. Every aspect is good. James is pointing out there's no variance in who he is, and he points that out in his context of all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. There's no nuance. There's no little shadow. Well, yeah, but sometimes he's got a alternative motive that isn't right. So, well, Pastor, how come there's evil in this world? How come there's evil in the world? How come God doesn't take care of that? Well, here's why. It's so ironic because the answer is so obvious. Here's why. Because God is a God of love. Now, it seems like that doesn't make sense, but watch. I'll put it all together and make perfect sense to you. And I've used this analogy before, but it's such a good analogy. In the garden, how many know Adam and Eve, they can eat of this tree over here, 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 eat of this tree over here. How many know there was probably hundreds of fruit trees that they could eat from? But God says of this one tree, everybody say one tree. And if you tell your kid, you know what, you can have, how many like those jelly beans or all kinds of different, what do they call, jelly bellies? How many like jelly bellies? Man, I must be hungry. I'm talking a lot about food today. How many like jelly bellies? Man, and you're like, oh, I like this one. I like this one. I'm with you. If I give my kids a whole pack of jelly bellies, I mean a whole, how many know jelly bellies are expensive? They get a whole pack of jelly bellies, and all I tell them is, there's one black one. Don't eat the black one. I like the black one, amen? Honey, I like the black ones, huh? My kids freak out, I like the black ones, but I love that licorice. And you know what? How many know you get jelly bellies? There's not a lot of black ones. But all I want is one. I say, hey, kids, there's one black one I saw in this bag. Don't eat that. Can you imagine Tyler seeing the black one and thinking, I'm not looking, pops it in his mouth? Can you imagine Shayla doing that? Can you imagine Meg? I know you can't imagine them doing that. I know you can't imagine doing that. See, we need to get an understanding of the character of God. God, this is real. He said, you guys can eat of all these trees. All these trees. There's not any tree you can't eat of. Everybody say except one. Watch this. And guess which one Adam and Eve ate of? wasn't a jelly belly. What are you talking about? Somebody say, the apple. You know what? They eat the, it wasn't an apple. But I didn't say, what's that? What kind of, doesn't even say. So here's all I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that, why is there evil? Here's why, because God's a God of love. I used this analogy before, that you never, how many had toast this morning? Does somebody have toast? You know what? When you had that toast and the toast popped up, you know what? Connie, you didn't go like, yay! Oh, toaster, I love you, toaster. Did you hug your toaster? Who else had toast? I saw some other hands. Did you hug your toaster? Did you hug your toaster? On Valentine's Day, do you send your toaster a Valentine's? Do you sing a Valentine? Do you sing, Fred, do you sing to your toaster? Huh? Have you ever asked your toaster to marry you? I've never pronounced. Now I pronounce you man and toaster. I say, Pastor, you're so silly. Yeah, but I'm making a really deep theological point. Wherever you have, you know what, if you want love, if you want relationship, you have to give freedom. So, you know what, yeah, God can eradicate evil in this world. You know what, just make you all a bunch of toasters and you do exactly what he says, when he says it, you know what, however he says, you know what, how many want that? How many want God to start with you in making sure you can do nothing? How many of you want God to take away your freedom? See, because when he takes away your freedom, you know what? He can fix this world. Are you seeing this? And he says, nope, I'm not going to do that. How many have been hurt by somebody else? How many have been hurt by somebody else's evil? See? So because what happens is, how many have been hurt by your own evil? See, it's not just somebody else's. Sometimes we get ourselves in messes, and we get ourselves in a mess, and we live in an evil world with evil people making evil choices all around us. Even us who love God or are in the family of God, we still make bad choices. So what is God's plan? Here's his plan. My plan is to redeem people, get my word in, tell my people to evangelize. How many know that's part of our plan? Tell my people to evangelize. Freely you have received, freely give. And then tell my people. See, listen to me. God's got a plan of eradicating evil in this world. What is his plan? Get a mirror. You are the plan. He not only wants you to come in the family of God, but then he wants you to start to abide in him. Abide, if his words abide in you, you start to learn who God is. You become a, what does the Bible say? Become a imitator of God. What's his plan to eradicate evil? Become an imitator of God. If the light bulb's going on, somebody wave their hand and say the light bulb's going on. See, watch what happens. When that happens in your life, you are a light. The Bible says, don't put that light under darkness, but put it up high on a lampstand where people can see and people can go, oh my goodness, look at what is happening in their life. How many recognize that your life has gotten better when not you became a Christian, but when you became a Christian and started putting his principles in your life? How many people lie less than you used to lie? Man, I used to think that lying would get me out of trouble. How many know that? I'm laughing because that's such a crazy thought. Lying doesn't get you into trouble. Lying doesn't get you out of trouble. Lying gets you into trouble. Amen. Amen. You know, these different politicians and Hollywood folk who end up getting in all kinds of trouble. You know what? They tell them that they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to these, what are they? Attorneys, but they're social public relations. And they tell them, just come out with the truth right away. Get in front of it. Tell them, I did it and I was stupid and I'm sorry. Hello. Right? What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. That it's the love of God, because he wants a real relationship with you, that opens up the door for evil to happen on the world. Which, how ironic that is. And then we call that, and then somebody does evil and we do evil, and there's evil in this world, and we blame God. Look what God has done. And then watch this, how this happens. And then we blame God. And then we start thinking, oh, yeah, right. And he said, be anxious for nothing. But I got this guy asking me out, and I keep on telling him no, but I'm not getting any younger. And I know the Bible said don't be unevenly yoked but with unbelievers. But watch it. Watch it. I'm going to go back to the character of God. But I'm not sure that God really is going to take care of me. And so what you do is you're going to put yourself in a position to get in trouble. And listen to me, what I originally said. Anytime you get off and you start questioning the character of God, you're in trouble. And understand, it becomes very subtle at first. You start to think, well, I'm not sure that God understands what I really want. All right, you guys ready for some scripture? Yeah. Where do I want to go? No. Oh, yes, thank you. Guys in the back, Psalm 37, starting with verse 4. Psalm 37. This psalm is, you know what, listen, I would advise, just like you brush your teeth every day, read Psalm 37 every day. It'll change your life. It is such an awesome, and here's why, because it's so jugular to the goodness of God. It's so jugular to the goodness of God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many know that scripture? Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give. See, you're starting questioning and saying, yeah, but hey, listen, don't be anxious for nothing. Understand, God is a good God. He's got you. He's got good plans for you. Everybody say, he's got good plans for me. He's got good plans for you. Plans, the Bible says, for hope and a future, not for destruction. But what happens is we have to remind ourselves, delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you. How many know the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart? But what does it say before that? Delight yourself in the Lord. Are you catching this? Look what verse, go back to verse 3, guys. Go back to verse 3. Guys, yes. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his, stay here, feed on his faithfulness. Then it says, you know what? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, who's he giving the desires of heart? These people who are trusting in the Lord. Yeah, but you're 30-something. It don't make any difference if I'm 40-something. I'm not going to get anxious and start to do things on my own. How many of you have recognized you were on a good plan and then you got anxious and you got off God's plan and you started figuring out yourself? Raise your hand if you've ever done that. That's what happens. You forgot. You started not trusting God. You started to think that you couldn't put your trust in God. Amen. Amen. See, trust in the Lord and do good. What's good? What's good? Doing good. Trusting in God. God said this, and I'm not going to be anxious for that. God has said in his word, you know what? David said, I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their descendants, you know what, begging for bread. Never seen it. What's he saying? I tell you what, I've seen a lot, but God takes care of his people. And what happens is we start to get anxious and when you don't trust in the Lord, you're not going to do good. You're going to get off. You're going to start to think, well, I tell you what, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do this on my own. And you get off. Dwell in the land. How many know, we're not talking about in heaven. This is about God blessing us here. Well, I'm telling you very clearly, God wants you to walk in his blessings. That's what he wants. But he can't do that. Because you have a free choice, you can get off just like anybody else can get off. So what does he need? He needs you to trust him and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? Faithfulness. What are you saying? God's faithful. Yeah, but. No. God's faithful. Yeah, but. I don't make any difference. God is faithful. Are you catching this? Hey, where is Mark? Mark, come up here. I need to talk to you real quick. All right, praise the Lord. All right, are you still with me? Okay, dwell in man and feed in his goodness. Listen what David says. This is in, guys in the back, follow me over here. David says this in Psalm 77. Look what he says. 77:11. Yeah, you remember that verse, right? 77:11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember his wonders of old. I'm not going to forget. God is good. I need to remember this. Now, let me tell you about who wrote this. This was David who wrote this. David had, how many know David didn't have a perfect life? I was talking to somebody, just recently, about tithing. Can I talk about tithing for a minute? Listen, tithing is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Yeah, but Pastor, you said that if you tithe, God will bless you. That's absolutely true, but it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. How many know what I'm talking about? And I shared with this brother, I said, hey, take inventory. Amen? How many know we have a tendency to, I'm going to get back to this in a minute. How many know we have a tendency to remember the negative more than we remember the good? How many know you can have people saying, man, you're looking like you're losing some weight, man. You're looking good, man. I like your hair. I like, whatever. But the one person who comes up to you and says, man, you got some, you know what, you're kind of getting old. You look kind of wrinkly around the eyes now. Hello? How many remember, you know what? You ain't thinking about how skinny you're looking. You're not thinking of how cool your hair looks. You know what? They say it takes 7 compliments to weigh out 1 criticism. How many just raise your hand and say, I think that's accurate. See, here's what I'm saying. That many times And here's what I said to this brother. I said, hey, listen, many times in our life, you know what? We start to tithe and we think it's a get-rich-quick scheme. And we don't, I said, do one thing. Understand that, you know what? This is a commitment that you make to fund the kingdom of heaven. Number two, understand, start counting things accurately. Amen? What do I mean? You know what? God blesses Tamara and I all the time. Somebody say all the time. All the time. Pastor, does that mean that you don't have, you know what, bills that come up unexpected? No, we have those too. But when I put things on a ledger, you know what? Start counting everything. Amen? You know what? We already, you know what, went down to the city, you know what, talked to these leaders at the city, showed them what we're going to do. We had three major leaders in the city who have authority to okay things. They've already completely okayed, and we obviously have to get everything inspected, and we're, you know, going to run, you know, get the permits on everything. But we already have from the city complete approval to do the outside project. Amen. Can you say amen to this? Amen. See, sometimes we listen to people sometimes on the radio, and these people get me so upset as they mock the blessings of God. You know what? Have you ever been at the mall and got a good parking space? You know what happens when I get to the mall and I get a good parking space? You know what I say? I say, praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Do you hear about the guy who went to the mall and it was Christmas time and he drove around and drove around and drove around and drove around and finally he just got fed up and he said, God, if you give me a good parking space, you know what? I'm going to start going to church. And as soon as he said that, right in front, a person pulled out, and he pulled in, and he said, never mind, God, I got it. See, but how many know that's how we are? That's how we act. We you know what? Tamara's friend down in Newport Beach used to say this about me. She said, you know what? Drew is so lucky. How many know, I wasn't lucky. She saw the blessings of God that came on me. Can I say, sometimes we just remember the one big bill. We don't forget all the blessings of God that are coming to us. Amen? See, I want to be the kind of person. I remember one time, I don't know what my wife, she'll help fill in the blanks, but one time my wife was cooking something and she put on the stove and she left to do some grocery shopping. Honey, remember this? And she's in line at the grocery store and all of a sudden she remembers. Honey, how did that happen? Why is it? Was there something that keyed that off, or you just all of a sudden had a thought in your mind? You just remembered. See, all of a sudden she remembered. She came home, and guess what? It was smoking, huh? The whole house was full of smoke. See, but how many know? Thank God, the whole house wasn't full of fire. Can you say amen to this? And see what we have a tendency to do. Listen, we need to understand our covenant. Yes.
This is a better testimony than he's making it. Okay, so watch this. I put a chicken. I was boiling a whole chicken. So I put this whole chicken on the stove and started cleaning the house. Next thing you know, I thought, I better go to the grocery store and get this or that. I went down to Walmart. You ever gone to Walmart and get way caught up? Like you get three times more than what you thought you were going to get? So I was having one of those days. It was like I was just cleaning the house, cooking dinner. It was one of those easy days. And so I was down there, and I got all caught up in Walmart. I got in line. I was the sixth person deep. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, the chicken, you know. And so, but I had to spend all this time getting these groceries too. And And I needed some of that stuff for the dinner, so I went to the guy at the very front of the line. I said, sir, can I just go in front of you, please? I got to get home. I left something cooking. He's like, sure. So I checked out, got home as fast as I could. The house is just bellowing with smoke. I opened up all the windows. I turned that black chicken off at this point. Turned that black chicken off. And then I had to wash all the walls and all the ceilings to get the smoke off. That's how bad it was. Just a few months later, our neighbor's house, I don't know if you know this, totally on fire, boom, just a total mess. I'm talking to my neighbor, what the heck happened? You know, she said, I had a chicken on the stove. I swear to you. And so she was out of her home for almost 4 months while the insurance took care of everything and put it all back together. But it was the same. She just had a chicken on the stove and forgot about it. That thing blew up. I guess it makes a fire. You know what I mean? Who knew? You'd think it just gets smoky. But no, somehow some science thing, it combusts and boom, her whole thing was all burnt up. But that was a chicken with Norma.
Chicken.
You say, well, you know, see, here's what I'm saying. You say, yeah, but look, you know, your whole house was all full of smoke and you had to clean. Hey, can I tell you what? Our house didn't catch on fire. Can I tell you what? God is a good God. Is a good God. You know what? Can the Holy Spirit who lives inside my wife just remind her? You say, yeah, but why did she forget in the first place? Here's why. This will shock you. Because my wife isn't perfect. Right? Close, like Mary Poppins. Right? Almost perfect. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? So, listen, we don't live in a perfect world, and we're not perfect. But God is perfect. He's good all the time. And what we want to do is we want to transpose our imperfections on Him. I wrote this down. Listen to this. When you see something different than what you read in His Word, stay with what you read in His Word. Stay with what you know. We have allowed circumstances of evil of men and evil of ourselves, and we have transposed the mess that we are in our country, in our world, nations that have starving people by the hundreds of thousands, and some of these nations are the most rich in resources, but they have allowed governments and businesses to come in and take advantage of people and control of people, greedy people. How many know the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil? I didn't say money's the root of all evil. This love for money causes people to do things that are absolutely evil. Sometimes we like watching these crime things on TV. You know what is the... I was like, unbelievable. You know what? On all of these that we watch, you know what is the number one motivation? The insurance money. These people are crazy. You know what? This happens all the time. Does this happen all the time? They will go 2 days before they murder their spouse. They'll go to the insurance place, bump up the insurance from $200,000 to $400,000, and act like they're not going to be caught. It is crazy. I wanted to do this. I wanted to have a can of ragu or not ragu. Not Prego. You're funny. They're like either spaghetti or SpaghettiOs, all that stuff. I want to have a can of SpaghettiOs. You know what? Who eats SpaghettiOs? See, now you don't want to raise your hand. Who? Come on, be honest. Who eats SpaghettiOs? You know what? I wanted to read the ingredients on the SpaghettiOs. I guarantee you, there'd be stuff I could not even pronounce. How many know SpaghettiOs can be on the shelf for probably years, amen? That SpaghettiOs, you might be 4 years old. You're like, ooh, look what I'm going to have for lunch. And listen, and you're all happy. Hello? What's going on there? You know what? Well, I tell you what, Nabisco, you know what, makes a lot of money because they're able to have that SpaghettiOs. They don't have to throw those SpaghettiOs away. You know, in the grocery store, there was hardly anything. I can't think of what was on the shelf. I worked in the grocery store for 25 years. I don't think of anything on the shelf that we ever had to check the shelf life. Ever. Amen. Now, we had to check the shelf life of the butter and the yogurt and the milk. But you know what? How many know most of the stuff that is bought in the aisles? I was talking to a doctor not so long ago, and here's what the doctor said. She said that it's freaking them out because diabetes is now, they're seeing younger and younger and younger and younger kids have diabetes. Diabetes at one point in time was a disease hardly anybody had. Well, how does something what hardly anybody has, and now a lot of people have, what happened? Our diet. And they're freaking out because they used to give these diabetes medicine to somebody in their 60s who through diet got diabetes. Now they're having their, and the doctors are, even the doctors are scratching their head because they're thinking, I'm prescribing something to a 12-year-old. That I used to prescribe to a 60-year-old. And what is this drug going to do over a 40-year period of time in their life? Are you catching this? See, can I just point out, I'm just talking about the goodness of God. God isn't the one who injects the chickens with hormones. God didn't do that. See, listen to me. In the beginning, God said, it's all good. That's all I do is good, because that's who I am. And let me make this point. He said, not only is it good, it is very good. When he got done and he was about to rest, he said, it all is very good. That's what he said. He's not the one who injects the chickens with steroids to make them, you know what, 5 pounds bigger, you know what, 2 years faster. That's not him. But he gets blamed for all kinds of sickness and disease. You know what, why God do this to me? You know, maybe your accusation finger is at the wrong person. Are you learning something? Because God's plan was that these people would stay in the garden and multiply. Well, if that was God's plan, how come God didn't do his plan? I already told you. Because he didn't put toasters in the garden. He put people in the garden. And he gave people eat of that tree. Don't forget this as you are starting to question the character of God. You can eat over here, eat over here, eat over here, eat over here. Here, 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 here. This tree, that tree. This tree, that tree. This tree, that tree. When you start to question the character of God, start to look at man and first start with yourself. Because what I've learned is most of the messes that I'm in are self-induced. Can you say amen to this? Amen? Amen? And then a bunch of others, you know what, are because of the crazy people that live around me. I'm just saying. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mickey. Wow, that's president company excluded. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We all, God is good. Hear the message that God has to say to you today. God is good. And when you stick with that, you'll stay on the plumb line. You'll stay on the plumb line. Did you learn something today? Have you been encouraged today? Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray.
I couldn't help but notice some of the scriptures. The one that was just there, we put it back. So the one before, the last one that they had, this was 77 that they had up there, but I think it was 37 that he had. It says that, and they feed on his faithfulness. Do you see the responsibility of what the person is supposed to be doing? And then I want to read to you one of my favorite scriptures that the Lord recently is just really, really, really just instilling. This is a message. Can I just say this? This message that we're hearing today is a message. Have you heard this like in my closings? Quite a bit. You know what I'm saying? The Lord is really pushing something here with us that we understand how to be his people. We have a part. Do you understand? It's a relationship. So there's things that we're to be doing, like feeding on his faithfulness. And go to the 77 then. So they're feeding on his faithfulness here, and they're trusting him. That's an act. Do you understand that? Keep going. Here. Look at, they meditate on all work and talk of his deeds. We're meditating on how good God is, and we're talking about how good God is. And listen to this one here. This one here, the Lord just will not get, it's just been in my spirit for months now. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Walk with God, and this is now the Amplified, okay? To please him, for whoever comes near to God must believe. Is it optional? It's not optional. We must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So we get in these little pity parties because something's not going the way we think it should or happening as fast as we want it to happen. But are we earnestly and diligently seeking him? Are we meditating on him? Are we walking in this faith? Because it's impossible to please God unless we walk in faith. The Bible says that we're to walk by faith, not by, which means when stuff is happening around us, we really shouldn't be paying attention to it. Do you understand that? It's just stuff that's going on. However, God is going to help me overcome this stuff. I was sitting there thinking of, and I'll just briefly, because I can't really go into a lot of these testimonies. Some of you know them. When we were trying to get a loan for our very first home, and our realtor, who had done real estate for years, I mean, he wasn't a novice, do you understand? He had a lot of experience. He's like, oh, no, you guys are going to qualify, no problem. We didn't qualify, and we didn't, and we didn't, and we didn't, and maybe, and we didn't. I don't know. It was a lot of times. Because finally, Pastor Drew said, wait a second. We're not doing this. The loan that we originally were told that we would qualify for with the super duper awesome interest rate, now we're so far down the road here that this loan here that we're even talking about now, even if we got this loan, it changes the numbers so much, it ain't going on. I'm not doing this. So do you think we were, now we obviously felt like God was leading us, you know what I'm saying? And so can you put yourself in my shoes? We feel like God is leading us. We find a place where we talk to some, yes, you're going to qualify and all this, no problem. Okay, great. Now we're here. No. What do you think I'm feeling emotionally back there? Do you understand? No. Pastor Drew says to our realtor, hey, listen, we're not doing this. Because now the payment's nothing what we talked about, because if this thing's a no and the interest rate keeps changing, it's not going on. And he says, something's got to change, because we're going to stick with the numbers that we started with back here. I do not want a payment above this. We're not going to overextend ourselves, stretch ourselves, blah, 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 blah. Not going to do it. So, long story short, here's how that one ends. The realtor goes to the seller, and the seller says, I guess they were desperate. They were like, lowered the price a lot. I don't know where Drew is. I don't remember numbers. $20,000 or $25,000. They lower the price of this house. So that why? So that the numbers will go back to where we began. Because the realtor's saying, listen, they're out. Because they're not going to do this. And, da, 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 da. And then the seller says, okay, no. We're going to come down. It'll go there. They can have it. Yeah, we want to do this thing. Okay. So then we go with the loan. Guess what? Now at this point, our realtor freaks out. He's like, what is going on? I don't understand why you're not qualifying. You should qualify easy. What do you think's going on? No, wait. Be real. Go back here with me. Now what do you think I'm thinking? Do you understand? Because like, wow, now we're going to get a super deal. And guess what? No, you're not. So then the realtor freaks out. And he says, give me that. I'll never forget. He grabbed those papers. Give me that. I don't understand this. And he like kind of stormed out. You know what I mean? He come back day or two later, whatever it was. Guess what? We qualified for the very first loan at the very best rate. Now, what if during this time, because this is what I see believers do, God sucks, I can't even get a house, and we knew, I mean, we felt like God told us to do this, and this guy, this Christian guy, he said we would qualify, right? Blah, 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 blah. No. See, there's a beginning time where you must learn how to walk by faith. And you don't do it by crying in your Cheerios. I'll tell you that right now. You don't do it by doubting God. You don't do it by questioning his character. That is not how you do it. I'll tell you, guys, what is this? Is this the enemy who's always trying to get us to fall off? Or is this a test that God, you know what? I don't know what it is, but here's what I know. Every single testimony that I have, there was a test. You're not going to have no testimonies without that place where you have to choose. You know what? Are you going to walk by sight or are you going to walk by faith?
Now, listen, I don't know what's going on here, but here's what I know. In the end, I'm coming out smelling like a rose because God's got my back. God's got my back. But do we think like that? Do we talk like that? Do we walk like that? Or do we walk like a bunch of simpering babies questioning God with chips on our shoulders going boo-hoo, right? But we've got to learn that we got to do that. I could tell you that with my job. I could tell you that with the carpet when we first got qualified, when they got all that free carpet for the whole church. Pastor preached a sermon back in the early days, and I'll never forget it. How many of you have heard, well, if it's God, the door will be opened. You know what? And if it's not God, the door will be closed. Right? I'm going to ask you a question. If we're walking by open doors or closed doors, are we walking by sight or are we walking by faith? Which one would it fall in? Which category? It's going to go by sight, huh? I'm sorry. That's opposite of what the Word of God tells us. But that is like a little theology among Christians. A theology that does not line up with their God. Pastor preached a sermon, and here's what it was. Sometimes you got to kick the door down. It was a door kicking down time when we qualified for all the brand new carpet end to end in the church, all the way from the nursery hallway all the way to the North Sanctuary. 740 square yards of carpet. I'll never forget it because I walked by faith for it for a very long time. And every time I would start to get sad, I would say, nope, God's got this. And every time I start to put the weight on me, what if? Nope, it's not my problem. God's got this. Right? It was a walk of meditating and knowing, and believing, and trusting, right? And ask me if I got my carpet. Of course I did, because God is faithful. But if I would have sat down and said, boo-hoo, where is God? This stuff don't work. Kicking the door. You know how I kicked the door down? The only way I kicked the door down. Let me just tell you this. That's good. The only way I kicked the door down. I didn't get violent with somebody. Don't. The only one I get violent with is the enemy who's trying to shoot me all the stupid thoughts of who God is. That's the only one I got violent with. Because every time they would say, no, honey, you're not going to, I'd say to myself, self, God's got this. You know what? Yeah, but I will never forget on the phone with this manager, and she said, well, you know what, Mrs. Cohen, we do not help churches. I said, yes, I know, but, and then she said, yeah, but you know what, Mrs. Cohen, blah, 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 and I said, yes, I know, but on one conversation, and she goes, yeah, but the thing is, to get, that's a lot of carpet that you want. And for you to get that carpet, you would have to become a double district project. That means two districts would have to say yes to your project. I said, mm-hmm, like, yeah, mm-hmm, okay. And how do we do that? And she said, well, they would both have to agree. I said, okay, so what do we do next? I'm not taking no for an answer. I knew what God was doing there, and it's a long testimony, but I was sure is than sure that this was God. He had made it so clear. And so every time they said no, I said, yeah, but how we do that? Okay, what then? And then she said, well, just coincidentally, they both happened to be in my store today. I said, really? Shocker, right? Because God is doing something. How long did this process take? I'm going to guess, I do bad with numbers, a year and 3 months, I don't know. But I wasn't ready for it anyway. Like if I had gotten that carpet 3 months into it, we'd have been going, uh-oh, what do we do now? Where are we going to put the carpet? Because we're not ready. Hi.
In the process, that's when you start backing up and start thinking, well, God, maybe he's not. And that's how you kick the door down, by just staying. Having done all to stand, just stand there. You know what I mean? Just, you know what, your marriage hasn't turned around. You know what, in 3 years, in 15 years, just stand there. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season, you will, see, look, listen to the adamantness. You will reap a harvest if, it has nothing to do with the character of God. If you faint not.
Wow, right? Okay, got it? Sometime you gotta kick the door down. How do you do it? Meditating. Don't forget, we're with God this whole time. Can I just tell you a tip? You will not walk by faith not walking with God. It's not gonna happen. You can just put up your little white flag to the enemy right away that you surrender. Because you have to go to God's word and see what he says and encourage yourself. This is what God said. And remind yourself, no, God is. And remind yourself of the word. If you're not in the word with him, more than likely you're going off the cliff with your faith. It's not going to happen. You've got to remind yourself of what he said and keep on just quoting what he said and keep on walking by faith and not by, all right, amen.